Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. I appreciate you guys being here today. It's Ron Monroe, host of the Exhort Show. Oh my goodness, I hope you had a great week. I hope you find, you know, this finds you doing well this morning, and things are good on your side of the street, good in your world, if you will. Man, we had a crazy week this week. I know you hear me say that so many times, but man, if you were living your life and walking the same roads we are, you'd really understand. I mean, it's just crazy. It's been really, really entertaining. Working on Ernie's place, trying to get it ready, trying to just have a place where we can bless people so they can come get back into society in a successful way. You know, we've done this here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Granbury, Texas, you know where that is. And then we've also done it in Oklahoma as well, and done it in Fort Worth. So we're expanding out east, and we're excited about that. We have multiple properties that we're inquiring and looking at. We've got one in the process of being redone, and look forward to hopefully have maybe a couple more done. Maybe it's a little optimistic. At least one more, right, Karen and Michael? One more done by the end of the year, as we'd like to do two a year if we could or more, just so that we can make sure that we're really helping the folks. We've got a young lady and her three children right now looking for a place to kind of rebuild her life, and what a blessing we'd like to be to her and help her amongst others. We get calls every day for people needing help and needing a place to go. We sent, I think so far in February, known in the last couple of weeks, has been my brother-in-law's helped four. I've had one call. He's helped four or more people just to hit rock bottom, get into some kind of a treatment facility. And you know, obviously once they're out of that treatment facility and they're back to whole again and all like that, we want to have a place where they can come out and training, transportation, we can help them, things like that, just get them back on the even playing field, if you will. So that's what we're all about. And this week, man, we took the first big old attack. One of my neighbors saw a post of us asking for some supplies for the house and jumped to the conclusion that we were making some kind of massive halfway house and all these things. And, you know, in society, halfway houses get such a bad name, and quite honestly, they probably should. Many are not run well or done right, but I can think of so many that I know. Brittany's house in Dallas, which helps timed out children, if we partner with it. So many others that do such great work, and that's what we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of having a place where we can put a family, you know, maybe two or three widows together or something like that, somewhere where they can have a safe environment to rebuild their lives after they've gone through massive tragedy. We don't want to see any widow on the street. We don't want to see anybody that's been incarcerated on the street. We don't want to see any addict on the street. We don't want to see any children that come out of foster care and left behind on the street. As you know, my heart and my ministry is housing. I want to get people off the street. I want to disciple them and mentor them and help them become who God's created them to be. Place to do that. They have to be in a safe place to have that done. So that's what we're trying to provide, that safe place for them, that kind of a nice landing zone for them. So that's my heart and that's my passion. And even though we take great blows from the enemy, and even though we have people that say things that aren't true, and make accusations that aren't true about our character and about what we do, that doesn't move us, because we're only moved by what Lord Jesus says about us. Gideon, good to see you this morning, brother. Pray a blessing upon your family out there. I'm just telling the story about Ernie's place, so make sure you rewind and go back and hear that first part. But we're moving on despite the distractions that the enemy has brought upon us. And, you know, in reality, isn't that just life? You know, in that life, life comes with distractions. And I was telling my buddy Greg Watron about that this week, and I wasn't sure exactly what God was going to put on my heart this week. It's kind of like I didn't have. Normally, I have the being prepared out in advance and that I know what I'm going to be speaking about. God's kind of led me that way. But for this reason, for some reason this week, I mean, for over 2 weeks, I've been trying to think of what I was going to be speaking on this week and what was going to be going on. And little did I know it was going to take all the way to Thursday afternoon before I had it come up. And then I was talking with Greg yesterday. He said, "Brother, I think you just need to get on and share your heart and share what you're going through." So it's kind of funny, this blog, although it never intended to be about Ron Monroe's life, it kind of is going along with Ron Monroe's life to some degree, just because that's the way God's leading. So anyway, lots of distractions. We encounter distractions. We have distractions and obstacles in our lives, hurdles that we have to navigate while kind of climbing the mountain, if you will. That's just really life. That's what life is about. It's how we respond to obstacles. And quite honestly, sometimes I respond really well, and sometimes I respond really well or really bad, you know, honestly. Just yesterday, I was talking to the neighbor who kind of dumped me in the grease or kind of tried to out me. He thought he was outing me to the HOA and the POA. You know, I said I thought it was kind of cowardly. We know this gentleman. We know his mother he lives with. Really, you know, we talked to her multiple times. We know most all our neighbors there. I told him, I said, you know, I think it's kind of cowardly that you didn't just come to me and ask. And he had asked earlier in kind of some different kind of generic way, just kind of, hey, I'm, you know, your neighbor and all like that. But he'd never had an in-depth conversation about, you know, what we do and how we do and things like that. And I guess he was skeptical or whatever, and he jumped to a bad conclusion, you know, once he could see the post. But nonetheless, yeah, he just dropped a missile. He just dropped a missile on us big time. But that's what happens. And so now we have the challenge to kind of try to recreate who we are. And in that process, I was telling you about him. I said, you know, I think it was a cowardly move that you didn't come across the street and just have a simple conversation. We're there, you know, every day of the week. You could have come across and asked a question. We could have had a conversation, helped you understand exactly what we do and all like that. But here we've been there 6 weeks, and he's never done that. And so he didn't like being called a coward. And I apologize for calling him a coward. I thought it was a cowardly act, quite honestly. I still do. In fact, I told him, if you can find a better word for it, I'll be glad to agree on that word, what it is. But, you know, I would think that in Texas, of all places, if you've got an issue with your neighbor, you'd just go over there and say, hey, listen, you know, or if you want to have a question, we'd even talk about having dinner with this family. So you think if someone that you've talked about that with, surely, you know, you could have a decent conversation with. But, you know, nonetheless, it's a little obstacle we have to overcome. And we all have obstacles and hurdles that we encounter and overcome and have to run around and run through. And, you know, for some people, it's relationship challenges. You know, I've got a friend who is constantly struggling with his significant other. You know, a friend, isn't that funny? That's what people always say when they're talking about themselves. No, this actually is a friend who constantly has struggled with his significant other's wife. Over issues, and it's based on insecurities and things of that sort. And many people have relationship issues that they struggle with and hurdles they have to overcome there. It just seems like it's a no-win game for him in that situation. I've got another friend whose wife would just rather not be around, and, you know, I don't understand why that is, but it is the case. So there's a lot of us that have situations where it's relational, you know. Either their significant other doesn't find them worthy or worthy of approval or disrespect them or they've even been bullied. That's a struggle and challenge they have to overcome. And for others, it's just I'm following a passion, whether it's art or people or constructing our empire. You know, many people are building businesses and stuff like that. No matter what we're doing and what our passion is, we often hit obstacles along the way. And, you know, after you've crossed hurdle after hurdle, you know, life can be what seems like much a struggle for you, you know. And that's really the people I'm talking to today. And it's really all of us, you know, that are living in this earth right now, we encounter struggle, you know. In fact, if you haven't, you know, if you're living the American dream and you haven't passed any struggles or hadn't had any struggles, you have to know that it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. My pastor says, watch out, because you're either have been through a struggle, you are in a struggle, or you're getting ready to go through a struggle, you know. So a wall is either in front of you, it's behind you, or, you know, you're right up against it right now. So the question is, what do we do when we run into these struggles? What do we do when we run into these obstacles, these hurdles? They just come, you know. I don't know what it is that you're facing today, and or what you just left, or what's coming in your path next, but I have some encouragement for you today. I want you to be prepared for them. They don't have to be a shock, you know. You don't have to navigate them with no tools. Most of these tools are very common, but I want to make sure that we understand them. So today we're going to be talking about encountering obstacles, whether they're work-related, family-related, just struggles with strangers. You know, they can be inside or outside your circles. They can be time-related or not. You know, they can even be as simple as just discomforting. But obstacles and hurdles, we all have them. We know that life has its ups and downs, and inevitably we will be faced with moments in life that are seriously challenging for us, dark moments that can leave us feeling frustrated, scared, or oftentimes broken. You know, we might even start losing our faith in God along the way, and that's what I want to kind of talk about, things that will keep us from doing that, if you will. You know, the thing with God is your biggest setbacks, your biggest challenges can become your greatest comebacks. With God, we can move from being a victim to being a victor. With God, we can navigate the deepest, darkest valleys and walk the highest mountains. As a Christian, it's important to not let these obstacles tear life away from our faith, you know, kind of separate us from our faith, if you would. These moments are when we need our faith the most. If we find ourselves stuck in the pit of despair, we, you know, can't let ourselves, you know, get up, just reach out and call on God's name. Here is the best place to be, is to be with the Lord. So let me just discuss some strategies that you can use to help overcome some of these obstacles, get around these hurdles with God's help, if you will. When I encounter obstacles and hurdles, let's discuss some deals. Obstacles aren't fun to deal with. They slow up our process and our plans. They keep us from moving forward in our dreams and desires that God has placed in our hearts. They block us from seeing the untapped potential oftentimes in our future because they consume us. Yet there's no spiritual growth without obstacles. I want to make sure I say that. There's no spiritual growth, no real growth at all, emotional growth or anything, without obstacles. Every mature believer has at one time or many times dealt with unimaginable obstacles in the way of God's directions for their lives. So what do we do with the obstacles? When I encounter obstacles or hurdles, many times fear, quite honestly, is the first thing that comes to mind. Now, people that know me really well, they know that. But most people, you know, see me as kind of a little as strong and things like that. But in reality, when this bomb hit me yesterday or Thursday, the first thing I thought was fear. The first thing I felt was fear. And oftentimes when people encounter struggles and run up against the wall or have a negative thing happen, the first thing they do is fear. You know, I'm really conservative in most times and consider all the options when I'm embarking on anything. I consider all the options, failure and success with any project or path that I'm heading on, anything I'm doing. I'm always looking at all sides of the issue. Also, based on my past, I often think maybe I missed something or was mistaken when I have an obstacle hit. So the enemy tries to occupy that ground immediately in my mind and cause confusion and doubt. So often fear is the first response when encountering obstacles and hurdles. And the fear is just an emotion that's you know, that we deal with, you know. And for most of us, often when we have fear, we also have anger, you know. So when I first heard this, I was, you know, I was pretty angry. I was like, you know, why would someone not knowing who I am try to out me for their good? You know, why does that happen? So fear being the first response is not always the best choice, but often it's my choice. So what should our response be when encountering obstacles? I want to give you six things to do when encountering obstacles or hurdles. First of all, you're going to hear this one, replace our fear with God's love. We need to replace our fear with God's love. Obstacles that we face in life are riddled with anxiety, fear, worry, anger, stress, and every negative emotion that we can think of. These feelings can keep us paralyzed from dealing with the obstacles correctly. Sometimes the key to overcoming the problem is through replacing these negative emotions with God's love. In other words, it's a great tool to use. We can focus and realign our thoughts through prayer, daily devotions, and meditation. Understanding God's love will help us demolish the intrusive thoughts we have. And, you know, we've talked over and over the last few weeks since the beginning of the year and probably since the beginning of my blog that we constantly have voices in our head. We have voices. We have, you know, the good guy on one shoulder, the little bad guy on the other shoulder. We've got the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We have voices. We have voices that we work around. We have voices of our friends. We have voices all around us. And the key is, who are we going to listen to? But God's love, it'll demolish all those voices, those intrusive voices that are negative for us. So, for example, if you're struggling to cope with a bad breakup, you can replace the sadness that you feel by focusing on the love of God. We're to replace fear with the love and develop a strong love by walking in God's grace. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:18. And when we recognize that we've already received perfect love from Jesus Christ, and that he can give us the grace to fully walk in love with our enemies, he will fight our battles for us. He will fight our battles for us. You know, it's not our job to fight our battles. Again, our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with its forces of evil and darkness in high places. And although we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down the strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. The greatest force in the world is love, and that is God. God is love. Let me just say that again. The greatest force in the world is love. And when we walk in love, it can displace all fear, and it's our choice to do. So replace fear with God's love. Second of all, recognize that God uses obstacles for his purposes. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Genesis 50, verse 20. Obstacles not only remind us of our weakness in and of ourselves, but also it's a reminder that God is in control. The Lord is never caught off guard by our problems or our situations. He uniquely prepares and chooses for us the journey of dealing with our obstacles. In the process of working through and around them, we grow up in the faith, and our testimony encourages others to press forward in the Lord. Perfect example, I encounter obstacles this week, and now I'm speaking about them today. Totally encouraging you and giving you some tools. Obstacles are just part of the Christian journey. They're part of anybody's journey. The good thing is, we have the antidote. We have the thing that can overcome it, and that's God's love. We replace his love, our fear with his love, and recognize that God uses obstacles for our journey to help us to overcome. We recognize that God uses obstacles for his purpose, for his purpose. You know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to deal with any obstacles. Our time on this earth is a process of proving our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Obstacles have destroyed many people's faith because they gave up and turned their focus away from the Lord. But my goal is for you to have a tool. Yet for those of us who stare down obstacles just as David stared down Goliath, we walk away in victory. So if you'll use the tools of the Lord, you'll walk in victory. Number three, we must trust in God's sovereign plan. Man, that is a big, big thing. We must trust in God's sovereign plan. It can be frustrating for us to give up control of our life. However, if we're to be a follower of Christ, it must be done. We have to fully believe that God is in control and that He has a great plan for our life. If not, we're not going to follow. You know, you're not going to follow anyone if you don't think they have your best interest at heart. If they don't have your best interest at heart. But you know you can follow God because He created you. He designed you. He designed this world for you to live in. He knows what's best for you, and He does have a great plan for your life. God's plan may seem confusing. It may seem unconventional. My walk, or my life has been very unconventional. You know, God's plan might be mysterious at times, especially when you're facing difficulty. It might be mysterious. It might be, you know, hard for you to see, but however, you know, you can always count on God to support you. He knows every detail about you. He has your best interest at heart. As God reveals His plan to you, you'll be able to better understand how to overcome the obstacles that are in your way, or God's reasons for putting them there. The key is to be willing to say yes to whatever God has for us to do. That's the key. We must trust in God's sovereign plan. Number four, we got to trust in God for strength and wisdom to deal with obstacles that come our way. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. Become my salvation." You know, many people spend a lot of their time trying to think and maneuver their way around obstacles and their own strength. Perhaps they're blessed with high intelligence, maybe wealth that can open doors. For many obstacles, our futile attempts to deal with them on our own strength just render us powerless. We must depend on God's strength and wisdom to overcome. We need to remember that nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32:27 is our verse of the day. It's, "I'm the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me?" So when you face obstacles today, I pray that you will remember Jeremiah 32:27, where God says, "I'm the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me?" Of course, we know the answer is no. So when faced with enormous obstacles, it's easy to fall into the error of believing that the obstacle may be bigger than God. Yet we know that's not true in our hearts. However, our actions of unbelief and doubt sometimes reveal otherwise when we try to solve it ourselves, when we try to overcome the obstacle on our own. We must stand firm in the faith that God is who He says He is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing is too difficult for God. He is all-powerful, and He will help us overcome. So we need to focus on how strong God's power is, how He is much more powerful than any other obstacle we'll ever face. This helps us shift our perspective and gain confidence, needing to know that you can handle it with God's help. God will help you knock down the wall that's in front of you. Remember the Jericho wall? What a crazy story. March around 7 times below your hands, and the walls fell down. God is oftentimes mysterious. His plans are often unconventional. But the key is, His plans work. Number five, we got to check ourselves. When we run into obstacles, we need to check ourselves. Sometimes we need to see if maybe we've got some sin in our life. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perspective the race marked out for us." This is a big thing for me. I always want to check, man, did I miss it? Is this my pride leading? Is this, you know, me just being overzealous? You never want to step out of the will of God. You never want to step out of the will of God. That is the quickest way to get hit in the head by the enemy, is to step out of the will of God. So I always check myself and say, man, did I get on? Am I running this ship, or am I letting God run this ship? Sometimes obstacles in our way are obstacles in our way because of our sinful or our carnal choices that we're making. Because of the cross, believers are no longer chained to living in sin. We are free to walk away from sin by the power of God. It's our choice to remain in sin because we find short-lived pleasure in them. However, we can't expect obstacles to dissipate until we confess and repent of our sins. If we're doing something just out of a prideful way, God can humble us. We have to deal with the strongholds that are in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That will deal with the sin that's in our heart. We have to deal with those strongholds in our heart. Some obstacles that we deal with aren't even real because we have let our fears, worries, or lies from others keep us paralyzed from dealing with obstacles. Many times, the key to overcoming a major obstacle is first to deal with what we allow our minds to focus on and realign our thinking to be par on what the Word of God says. Meditation, memorization, and reflection on God's Word daily basis will demolish even the wrong thought. We have to be quick to forgive. Two landing strips in our lives for the enemy. There are two landing strips in our lives for the enemy to be used as obstacles, and one is unforgiveness and the other is unconfessed sin. If not dealt with, these will become open portals from the enemy to wreak havoc in our emotional lives, and it can lead to physical health consequences and bad decisions. I strongly suggest and recommend taking the enemy's hooks out of ourselves and decide to forgive, which is a choice, and leave vengeance to God. As you release this situation to the Lord again, He will fight your battles. He's a God of justice, and we need to leave justice to Him. That's His position. We don't need to take it in our own hands. That's not our position. I can tell you from my own experience of being deeply wounded many times over that releasing all unforgiveness is the only way to go. Not only does it allow me to walk free, but I've seen it lead time and time again to countless blessings by doing so. It's a choice, and I know it can be very tough to make the decision to do it. But the quicker you decide to do this, the quicker you decide to forgive, in my opinion, the better off you'll be. And quite honestly, unforgiveness is the seed of many, many diseases. The crazy, the medical profession is finding them out. So you always want to make sure you're walking in forgiveness. Number six, a tool to help you overcome obstacles. Know your God-given identity. And this is where I think we've done such a poor job in the Christian community in America. First and foremost, we have to understand that we are part of Christ. We are in Christ when we're Christians. The enemy does not want us to discover or understand who we are in Christ. And he will try to do anything in a way, anything in his possibility, anything we can to take away our spiritual identity. Remember, that's the first thing that he worked with Adam and Eve was their spiritual identity. He tried to make Eve believe differently. Remind yourself that you're a child of God and that you're put on this earth for a reason. God loved you so dearly that he gave you his one and only son to save you from your sins. That's your identity. You're a Christian and no one can take that away from you unless you let them. Don't be afraid to stand up to obstacles and say, God is here with me. I can overcome this through him. This will not dampen my faith or take me away from knowing him. This will help us build confidence in our faith. God's word states in Hosea 4:6, my people shall perish for lack of knowledge. And I think this is where we lose so much of the battle is we don't know who we are in Christ. We do not understand our identity. We're not just pawns on this earth. We're his children. So it behooves us to learn why the Lord died on the cross for us And because of his supreme sacrifice, how he sees us and how we are in him. It's not until we understand what Jesus actually did for us on the cross and who we are in him that we can really understand our identity. We are the beloved of the Lord, enough to die, worthy enough to die for. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are seated spiritually with him in heavenly places. Thus, as a joint heir, you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Romans 8, 17, Ephesians 1, 20, and Ephesians 1, 11 all speak to this. Jeremiah 29, 11. The Lord has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That's who we are in Christ. So we shouldn't despair. You know, brethren, we become truly knowledgeable about who we are in Christ. We need to study and show ourselves approved so we understand who we are in Christ. So that we can start displacing the lies of the enemy and the obstacles he puts in front of us. And we need to replace it with the Word of God. Know our God-given identity. And we need to know our God-given authority as well. Not only our identity, but also our authority. Part of our inheritance is delegated authority. He gave us power over the enemy. Luke 10, 19 states, Behold, I've given to you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. The Lord has given us Christians all the power over the enemy. And nothing shall by any means injure us. Matthew 6:19 says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the authority that Christ has given us. Matthew 10:1, he gave us authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Which it didn't say some sicknesses and some diseases. It gave us the authority to heal every disease, every kind of sickness. John 10:10 states, The thief steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. He came to give us that life and give us the authority back. In Luke 9:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal the disease. Deuteronomy 28:13, And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. If you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charged you today, then observe them very carefully. So those are just six tools that you can use when you head up against obstacles and things like that. And I want to give you four practical things I talk about all the time. Four practical things that they characterize us, as, they should characterize us as believers. If they don't, then we need to really check ourselves and see if we've really bought into the program of Christianity. Number one, put your spiritual armor on every day. You know, I had a saying to one of my gal that went to my church that I consider a daughter, Desiree, if you're watching, this is for you. I used to tell her, you know, putting on your spiritual armor is kind of like putting on your big girl panties. It's like putting on your pants, like putting on your underwear. Putting on our armor every day is what we have to put on. If we don't put our armor on, we go out of the house naked. We go out of the house with no protection. Put on our spiritual armor every day. Know for sure that your battlefield is in the mind. That's where our battlefield is. We have to put our whole spiritual armor on every day. The battlefield is in the mind, and that's where the battle is. It's very important to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians. Also, we need to put on the whole armor of God in the morning so at the end of the day we'll be standing. Putting on the helmet of salvation, thinking God's thoughts about us, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, having our loins girded with truth, our feet shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, faith as our shield against which we stand all the wiles of the evil one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's out of Ephesians 6:10. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against worldly forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, just like we read before, Ephesians 6:1. Sometimes the obstacles that we're facing may seem natural, but many times they have their deeper spiritual rooting. Again, displace the lies of the enemy with God's truth. So let me ask you, does your confession line up with the Word of God? It's a vital, important thing for you to know who you are in Christ, confess daily, because the enemy of your soul wants you to walk in inferiority, insecurity, and fear. Christ wants you to walk in power and strength. Christ and His Word are our anchors. Proverbs 23:7 states, as a man thinks, so is he. As you think in your mind, that's how you're actually going to act and believe. God's Word is medicine to our body, our mind, and our soul. The devil is a liar, and he's positioned under our feet as the believer. His tools are fear, discouragement, doubt, deception, lies, and lies, and lies. So number one, put on your big girl panties. Put on your spiritual armor every day. Number two, read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. It's the bread of life. Hebrews 4:12 states, His word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and even able to judge the intentions or the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word is incredibly powerful and holds the keys to most of all our problems, if not all. It holds all our problems, am I right? All our problems. Through the Bible, we can understand the promises of God that He's made for us and how He helped us in our time of need and His amazing love for us. The Bible is scripture for every one of our needs, every one of our problems. It's also full of examples of how God has helped others overcome so many obstacles. You remember Sarah, she wasn't able to conceive a child in all the years when Abel did. Through the help and faith of God, she bore a child. God's word is so enormously powerful, it can raise the dead, cause miraculous transformations on spiritual, emotional, and physical levels, and bring back any dead situation in our life. I've seen all these happen before my very own eyes. And you see all of those, and I'm telling you all of this. I've seen all of those spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We're dead and now we're alive. All these have happened before my eyes. And they can happen before your eyes as well. Number three, pray frequently. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, we always say work like it all depends on us and pray like it all depends on God. That's what's true about it. Prayer is the best way to communicate one-on-one with God. He gave us the tool of prayer so that we would never have to feel alone. We can speak to God about the obstacles we faced in a safe, judge-free setting. God wants you to open up about your fears and your doubts and your anxieties so He can help you overcome them with His word for you. He'll listen to the pain. He'll listen to the pain that's filling your heart. Prayer will help you build solid relationship with Christ, which increases your ability to trust Him, feel more confident in His plan for you. There's no necessarily right way to pray. It's as simple as having a conversation. All you have to do is begin to speak and begin to listen. You talk to God just like you would your best friends. But the Bible says, be fervent in your prayer and pray the living, powerful word of God over yourself. Prayer is the language of warfare. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God. Saturate yourself with these truths of God's word, and it will keep oiling your lamps. Again, remember, we don't war against flesh because warfare is carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We don't war against flesh because our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God. And lastly, number four, surround yourself with fellow Christians. When we spend too much time in a secularized society, the enemy can infiltrate and weaken our spiritual walls. One way to combat this is by spending more time at church and around our fellow Christians. Other people of faith who are overcoming their own challenges can lift us up in our spirit and remind us of God's truth and cheer us on as we strive for our own goals in our own faith. They can give us advice on how they've turned to faith in times of trial and how it's helped them. You never know. God might even speak to them for you on your behalf, and they may be able to share that word. So all of these tools I leave with you, and I pray that you use. I mean, I pray that you're encouraged today in your faith, and I want to encourage you to stay in your faith, believing and pursuing your dreams and your goals before you. Persevere, and perseverance is great in the Lord's eyes. If you'll persevere with the Lord, you will see your outcome in due time. God works on behalf of those who wait for Him. Faith is heaven's currency. And one other phrase we always say, having done all, to stand. God will fight our battles for us, and we can enter to His rest and wait upon Him. Some parting thoughts, scriptures I'd like to share with you. The Bible says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it unto you. Hebrews 10:38, the righteous shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. And finally in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Being in the refiner's fire of trials and tribulations and challenges will shape us for His glory. Our tests will become our testimonies. You can look at Job and Joseph in the Bible. There's purpose in our pain. God will not waste our pain, and His grace shines brightest through our broken people. So embracing our own brokenness, it's paramount to our lives. It's paramount to our inner healing. He will redeem all of our pain and make up for the wasted years that the locust has eaten. He's the God of the divine reversals and turnarounds. And our life's pains and all the struggles we go through will be used for His glory. Just as Kid Craddock used to say, keep looking up, because that's where it's all at. Today, I want you to remember that you're loved with an everlasting love from your Creator, our God, our Father, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that today has been helpful for you. I hope that you'll take the time to share this podcast with others, this Facebook Live with others who have shared on your deal, because my goal is to definitely get this message out. Not that it's a perfect messenger, but it's a perfect message. We have a world to reach, and there's so many people hurting, so many people that need restoration. I just heard this last week of a person that took their life because they were in despair. Who knows? You might share this week, and you might save that one person who has hope or has no hope, who's up against a wall or who's going to be facing a wall, someone that might have just come from a wall and can't see the future for their life. So I pray that you'd share this message with them. You'd encourage those friends around you. You'd love on those people around you, and most of all, you'd love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I'm here to help any way I can, so feel free to always reach out to me. You can always reach me at exhortshow@gmail.com. That's exhort, E-X-H-O-R-T, exhortshow@gmail.com. You can always reach me through Facebook on my personal page or the Exhort Show page. You can reach me at any of my friends you see here commenting on here. Those same friends will get your message to me. Whatever you need to do, wherever you come from, I'll be glad to help you in any way. And I promise to keep your communications under confidence. There again, I do appreciate you being here today. My mission is to share the love of God with all I encounter and to lessen the burden of the downtrodden. And I pray that that's your heart as well today. I know that's God's heart. Peace be with you until next time. Next Saturday at 10 a.m., I'll be here again. Don't know what the message will be about. God's going to show me along the way. I hope it's the other side of my challenge. In Jesus' name, I pray a blessing upon you. You have a great day. You know, tomorrow, find a good Bible-believing church and go share it with others. Be around those who believe, who have good, strong faith, and let them help you build your faith. Thanks for being here today. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, good morning, Facebook Live.